Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate it. Listen, subscribe and follow the podcast. Chris, the YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there as we get set for the brink, well, something. Could be elimination for the Phillies tonight, or it could be a great story that is written as the Phillies force a game number five. Look, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here on this episode and today rehashing what last night was. The Phillies got their doors blown off at game three. That was ugly. It was an ugly baseball game. You know, they had opportunities early, specifically the sixth inning where Schwarber and Turner walk, and then the Phillies, you know, five pitches later are gone. You know, Harper has a really tough at-bat against Manaea, who you could tell is just a nasty on left-handers with that crossfire delivery. But it's a bad at-bat by Bryce. And then Castellanos hits it with some bad luck there. That's where the game, I thought, ended. And then you move forward, and then the Mets just with great at-bats break the game open. And it was a deflating baseball game for the Phillies. The series reminds me so much of last year's NLDS, just in reverse, where, you know, the Mets stole a game one, Phillies took a game one down Atlanta, okay. And then in game two, the home team, last year the Braves, this year the Phillies just absolutely needed it, big home runs late. Last year was Riley, this year was the Castellanos and the Harper, and they take the game. And then momentum didn't matter because it was a blowout in game number three back at home for the underdog, if you will. Power, you know, leading the way with Alonso and Winker last night, the same way with Harper a year ago. Now, game number four last year was close, and it was tight, and it took Strom getting Acuña out late in that game and the great Rojas catch. So I expect a nail-biter tonight. Are the Phillies going to be able to do this? I don't know. And if you have doubts, it's okay to have doubts because, I worried about the series going in. I thought the Phillies would win it at five. I'm going to hold on to that until the bitter end. But it's not good. I mean, they're playing from behind all the time. They're not in control. The Mets are in control of these games. It feels like with their at-bats and their poise, and the Phillies are trying to catch them. Just has felt that almost from the beginning from the eighth inning of game one to now. It feels like the Phillies are just like constantly trying to just catch up a little bit. The Mets have a step on them the whole way. And tonight is a big night, not just for the series, obviously, but there's a lot on the line. You know, when you look towards tonight, and when I turn that TV on at 5 o'clock tonight, what's on the line is massive for the franchise, and it is massive for so many of these individual players. I want to dive into this. Like, what is really on the line tonight, aside from just game four of the NLDS and an elimination? That's obvious. But, you know, go under the hood a little bit. Like, how big is this game for the Phillies franchise? I think it is enormous. I think it's one of the biggest games in franchise history tonight for a million different reasons. Let's get into them. Number one, obviously this season. That's the number one thing on the line. A season that started off with so much promise. A season that started off with so much belief in what they could be because of how they were playing. Their pitching staff was the best at baseball. They were by far the best team. They got big hits. They got clutches. They jumped on teams. They got leads early. They had an excellent bullpen. This thing was about unfinished business. We've called that on WIP for the past couple weeks and months. Unfinished business. To go finish off what they tried to do the last 2 years, and that's win a World Series. And to waste that opportunity, to go out in the first round, would be so devastating to this group. Because, you know, unlike some other groups around baseball, let's go to the Dodgers, who are down 2-1 now to the Padres, the Braves, who got knocked out by the Padres in the wild card round, or the Braves last couple of years, obviously, against the Phillies. Those teams, like the backbone, whether it be a manager or a front office or some of the players, they won already. You know, the Dodgers won in 2020. Now, you might say, that's a pandemic season. They played it in Texas. Who cares? But they won. Like, Mookie Betts won a world championship with the Dodgers. And Max Muncy won a world championship. And Will Smith won a world championship. They have it already. Now, if they get more, great for them. But they have one. The Braves, who we could all poke at and say, yeah, the Phillies showed them. The Braves are losers. They have one. You know, they won a championship in 2021. A lot of those guys are champions already, including Max Fried and Austin Riley. I mean, they already Ozzie Albies. They conquered the mountain. Ronald Acuna was not on that team. He was hurt, but he was part of that group. He was part of the team the first 4 months of the season. Like, they have rings. The Phillies do not. And what is most concerning for me is this is their best shot. Anyone with any common sense would agree. This is their best shot. Here are some things that are either very likely true or absolutely true moving forward. The Phillies' core is older, and they're only going to get older. How many more years are you going to get where there's health from Castellanos and Harper and Schwarber and Wheeler and Nola? I would argue, and Turner, I would argue probably never again to the extent you had it this year with production slash health for all of them. The way Wheeler's pitching right now is remarkable. How long will that continue? I think this is probably, if I were to put money down, this is probably the last year you get this much collective value out of all of them combined. And from here on, there's just natural decline or injury or whatever. So there's that aspect. Then there's the aspect of the division. The Nationals are building something with some young players. They'll move closer to relevance than you know, bottom feeder in the next couple of years. So the bottom will be a little bit better. Okay, the Marlins are years and years away, but that's okay. The Mets, you think this is just the start? You think this is the only year? This is supposed to be a reset year for the Mets. They've got a really sharp general manager, David Stern. You saw some moves he's made in this series, getting Winker at the deadline, going out and traded for Phil Maton. You know, the Mania signing, Severino signing, he's really sharp, and he hasn't really even sunk his teeth into what he could do with Steve Cohen's money. It wouldn't surprise me at all if this offseason they throw, you know, $1 billion at Juan Soto, Corbin Burns, and Jeff Hoffman. And next year they're the favorite to win the World Series when the season starts. That's the Mets are building something that could be huge. And it's a problem because it's in our division. Okay, that's that. Then there's the Braves, who made the playoffs this year, got to the upper 80s and wins despite having awful injuries. Strider out for the whole year, Acuna out for the whole year. Freed was in and out because of injury. They were ravaged. Albies missed a month here and there. Riley missed the last month, and they still made the playoffs. So the Mets will be better. The Braves will be better. The Nationals are building some really promising young players that will add to free agents. And then you go to the NL as a whole. The Dodgers, who we know always run out of pitching in October, will have Ohtani pitching next season, and they'll probably sign a big free agent. You know, this is probably the worst their pitching is going to be for years to come. And they have Ohtani and Betts and Freeman all signed up and Will Smith. So they're not going anywhere. The Padres, we know how good they are. Probably not going anywhere with Cease and King in that rotation. So you start thinking about the reality of this National League. This was the Phillies' year. This is where the stars aligned for them. If they don't take advantage of this, it's a darn shame. The second thing I'm thinking about tonight in terms of legacy and in terms of what this game means is on Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper is a great player. Bryce Harper's been a great Philly. Bryce Harper's postseason numbers are special. But Bryce Harper is ringless. He is ringless. And that reality will be more and more real as time goes on until he gets a ring. And we've seen many great players not win one. And Barry Bonds is one of those guys. He got to one World Series. He was amazing in it. His team lost in 7 games to the Angels. Bryce Harper got to one World Series. He wasn't amazing in it. He was amazing in the LCS to help get him there. Obviously, we bet them at the bank, but his team didn't win the World Series. And Bryce Harper is not a young man. And this team is not young around him. And the division will only get better. And you start to wonder if this, you know, this 3-year run was Bryce's best chance to win a ring in Philadelphia. I would argue it is. That doesn't mean best chance means only chance. Doesn't mean the Phillies can't sneak in as a wild card next year or the year after that and go on a magical run and win it. They could, but will he have a better chance than he had up 2-1 on the Astros in the World Series? Where the Phillies were that moment, as I did the postgame show at Citizens Bank Park 2 Octobers ago, after the Game 3 barrage of home runs off of McCullers, the Phillies were favorites to win the whole thing. And then last year, up 3-2 coming home against Arizona. And then this year, the number 2 seed, NL East champions, taking on the Mets. We're not series opening Game 1. Will we ever have a 3-year stretch where the Phillies have a better opportunity than they've just had and could be about to close here? I would think not. So Bryce Harper's best chance to win is right now. And can he fix that? Can he change it? Can he have a moment tonight? The other thing that's on my mind in terms of the what's on the line tonight is the future of this roster. Look, we know some things that are pretty evident. Zach Wheeler will be here next year. Aaron Nola will be here next year. Bryce Harper will be here next year. Kyle Schwarber will be here next year. I'm comfortable saying all those guys will be here next year. And I'll throw Trey Turner in. Five players I am supremely confident will be on the Phillies next year. Everybody else, I don't know. I almost had a Freudian slip and said Nick Castellanos, and he likely will be. But they did reportedly try to trade him last year. There were no bites. He had a better year this year. Will there be bites? Will they reconfigure the outfield completely? How many of the outfielders that have played in this series will be on the team next year and play a lot next year? Castellanos? Yeah, probably. Marsh? Maybe. And probably more of a platoon role than a straightforward year everyday guy after years and years of trying. Rojas? I don't know. Austin Hayes, please. He's been a disaster here so far. Some of his own fault, some not his own fault, but it has not been good. So they need help in the outfield. How does that happen? Is Trey Turner the shortstop next season, or is he going to move to the outfield? I think that should be on the table after the way he's played the position this year. How about Alec Bohm, who I don't want to start tonight at all in game number 4? I don't want to see him near the plate in game 4. 10 at-bats in the series, 19 total pitches he has seen. Swung at the first pitch over and over last night. Looked like he wanted to go home. Then go home, dude, if you don't want to be here. I would absolutely dangle Alec Bohm in a trade this offseason. Taiwan Walker. When is Andrew Painter ready? Do they give Stott an extension? Is he worth an extension? The Ranger Suarez future? There's a lot up in the air. This team, they ran it back. They ran it back with the intention of finishing the job. And now they're one game away from elimination. Could they run it back again? I don't think that's even remotely possible if they go out with a whimper tonight. Not even remotely possible. The future of the roster on the line. The other thing on the line tonight, potentially, is Rob Thompson's future and his hold on the manager spot. So when the Phillies gave Topper an extension last year after October, it was just through the 2025 season. So the Phillies have some options when the season ends. They can extend him again off of an NL East championship, and obviously they've gotten more wins each year during the regular season with Rob Thompson as their manager. They could do that. They'd be in their right to do that. They could do nothing, and he goes into next year as a lame duck. Or if they decide that the fall of this team and the demise of this team in October is on the manager, they could move on from Rob Thompson. And Rob Thompson could be gone. You know, you go back to the Boston days, and Dave Dombrowski moved on from John Farrell, who had won a World Series championship with the 2013 Red Sox. He won a championship. And when Dombrowski got there, he moved on after the Red Sox lost in the league, in the division series, the same round. Red Sox go out. Farrell out, boom, they bring Alex Cora in, and they win a world championship in 2018. So now I think this is a little bit complicated by the market and who's there. You know, I was recently having a conversation about Dave Roberts. What are the Dodgers finally going to move on from him if they go out to the Padres or, you know, don't win the World Series? And my thought on that is similar to my thought on the Phillies with Rob Thompson. If Alex Cora truly was available, because he was set to be a free agent this offseason, Alex Cora's, you know, widely considered one of baseball's better managers, if not the best in-game manager. If Cora was available, remember Cora won the championship with Dombrowski in 2018 in Boston, I think that, you know, that would be really certainly a thing that we talk about. Now, the Red Sox re-signed him. Terry Francona just came back to baseball and went to the Reds. I would have loved Tito here. And I like Topper. I'm a big Topper guy, and I don't blame him for all this. But this is how it works. You don't win or you go backwards. Your job is talked about. And if the Phillies don't want to give Topper an extension, then we're looking at a lame duck season. The last time I had a lame duck season, the team was throwing up all over itself in April and May before they fired Joe Girardi and elevated Rob Thompson. So away we go. We could be heading for another lame duck manager in 2025. And the last thing on my mind tonight in terms of what really is on the line in this game is how the town and how the city feels about this Phillies group forever. You know, there's a thin line between immortal and not loved anymore. There's a thin line between all-timer and frustrating. There's a thin line between fan favorite and we're tired of you. And I think for the Phillies, they're teetering on that right now. There are some shades of the Donovan McNabb Eagles. If this team doesn't break through, to where we'll remember a lot of good times, but we'll also talk about them as an inability to close, and it will separate them from the team of Rollins and Utley and Howard. Those guys knew how to close and win a championship, and this team, as of right now, has not shown that ability. You know, there was a moment last year, you know, off of the magical run to the World Series in 22, and then they're up 3-2, up 2-0, I should say, in the Diamondbacks, blowing the doors off them, come back up here 3-2. There was a sense in that moment the Phillies were going to win the World Series last year, where the Phillies were, you know, on the verge of being, because of the connection they forged with the home field advantage, with the dancing on my own, with the connection to the fan base, there was a moment where the Phillies felt like they were, this group of Phillies was going to end up as one of the more beloved Phillies teams or Philadelphia teams of all time. You know, up there with any great team, 70s Flyers, you know, early 80s Sixers, 2017 Eagles, just beloved. And then they blow the series to the Diamondbacks. And now we have this situation brewing here. And, you know, there's a thin line between that and being talked about like we talk about the Sixers, where they're not winners. They can't figure it out. You don't trust them. Wake me up when the games really matter, because they're going to blow up before that anyway. And I think the Phillies' run to the World Series a couple years ago endears them over the Sixers always, because Joel Embiid Sixers haven't done that. But the reality is there's not that much difference if the Phillies don't win this series, if they don't come back and at least get to the NLCS or at least get this thing to a game five. They're going to be looked at as a team of good players, but not a championship team. They're flawed, whether it's the chase at the plate or whatever it is. They're flawed in the biggest moments. That's what's on the line tonight. It's not just a game four. It's not just a division series against the New York Mets. No, it's this whole season. It's their best shot to win a championship as the NL East gets much, 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 much stronger as time goes on with Cohen in this division and with the Braves bouncing back. It's possibly and likely Bryce Harper's best chance to win a World Series in Philadelphia. The future of this roster is on the line. Is Trey Turner still a shortstop next year? Is he going to left field? Is Bohm traded? What's going on with Castellanos? Are they re-signing some of their young guys, or are they going to say, you know what, Bohm, Stott, Suarez, good, but not worth the long-term commitment we gave other guys? Is Rob Thompson getting an extension? Is he a lame duck, or is he out of here in a couple weeks? And the biggest one is how the town will feel about this group forever. They've become a lovable and very likable group for a lot of people. But if they blow this one, that goodwill and the way we talk about them, it goes out the window for a long time. Next year will sound and feel different around the Phillies unless they show a heartbeat, unless they show a pulse, and find a way to get the ball to Zach Wheeler on Friday night for game number five. Let's go, Phils. My head and my heart are telling me different things. My head's telling me they're in big trouble. My heart's telling me they got one more in them, and we're getting this thing back on Friday night for a game number five. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk about it on the midday show. Thanks for listening to WIP Daily.